Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the F Factor podcast on the 4th of March 2013. Normally, we start the show with the F Factor, X Factor Man voiceover, but I'll be honest, my throat is killing me. You don't pay me enough to do this stuff, and we're not getting enough likes. So, until you come like our page on Facebook, the F Factor, he's retired. And for now, you know, I don't want to start the podcast in this way, but what I'll do, as a little token gesture, this is the internet, everyone loves cats. Here, have a picture of a cat. Following last week's stand-in of the mighty Tebow, we are pleased to announce that once again, Max Carnage is back with us. Return of the Max. Bit of Mark Morrison for you there. So how are you, Max? You came back from beyond the grave like the Undertaker.
Yes.
With a bout of man flu.
Yeah, just about.
So well enough to play in the Castlecroft Rangers home game on Saturday.
Well, you know, you've got to have your priorities, haven't you?
Yeah, the fact that you work all week.
Well, you know, work didn't need me, the team did.
Yeah, this is true. Well, you haven't got a reserve goalkeeper for it, though.
So. We do have a reserve goalkeeper. He's just...
not very good.
No, he's just... He works for Co-op.
Okay.
And he works Saturdays, which is a bit of a problem.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem for a team to play on Saturdays, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we are delighted to welcome Max Carnage, our football analyst, which means that this show, after last week's, which I'll be honest, wasn't really about football... we also had a copyright claim put on us by YouTube because we included Baby by Warner Group Music, which was part of the Slipknot versus Justin Bieber
match. Is that actually true?
Yep, that is true. I acknowledge the copyright claim for the massive 14 views we received that episode.
If you're going to have T-Bone on.
I know, yeah. Well, with that in mind, we're not going to have the things to cheer you up segment this week, mainly because I'm really tired, Max.
And well, that's your own fault, to
I
be quite frank.
Couldn't be bothered doing a fat lot of press.
You shouldn't have gone out on Saturday and got completely blasted.
I should have, because it was my mate's birthday. Mate came to your game. We'll come on to this in the grassroots section, but he came along to your game to build his portfolio.
Did he enjoy it?
He did enjoy it. He genuinely did. Mm-hmm. The only problem we had was that it was freezing cold at times.
Actually quite warm.
That was the thing, if you stood in the sun,
yeah.
Beddoes, sorry, Tebow, it doesn't really matter, his Twitter address says who he is anyway, doesn't it?
Danger Monk.
Yeah, but he also says Tim Beddoes, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know his name, man.
He decided, being an emo, the best thing to do would be to stand entirely in the shade all game. I decided that it'd probably be better to go for a wander into the sun instead of the sun for the rest of the game. So.
Mm.
But yeah, as is tradition, we have a section of interesting facts because we had another view for 0 seconds.
People are still thinking we're sort of making this up, aren't they?
I know, yeah. I could show you the Google Analytics picture if you really
want. Actual facts. Yeah. We have these zero listen.
This one was arguably a little closer to home in that in Wolverhampton you may find a lot of these people. Is all I'm saying. You know, the EU, freedom of movement and all that. I'll play some music now and see if you can work out from that. Which country is? It's fairly generic European music. It is actually the music of a Polish folk group, because of course the view came from Poland. Now,
do you know who they are?
They are just known as Polish folk music. Live Polish folk music from Krakow.
There's lyrics.
If anyone out there, and let's be honest, if people are listening from Wolverhampton, they may well be able to interpret the lyrics for us.
You might have another copyright claim on your hands.
I might do. Mm. Well, this is just some sort of, you know, music taking place in a marketplace, so it might be alright. Who knows?
Who knows
what the bastards at Google will do? In fairness,
I suppose that could be construed as a swear word. It's not a particularly harsh swear word.
Have started already.
It's also a real word.
As in a
person without a father kind of thing. It could be construed as that. But anyway,
a bar steward.
I think I did very well last week. In that I didn't really swear all that much, and we had Tebow on, who, as you will know from playing in a band with him, likes to swear a hell of a lot. I'm not even convinced that
especially when he's got an audience as well.
I'm not convinced whether it's that he likes to swear. It's the fact that his way of coping with nerves is to repeatedly say the F word.
Yeah.
Almost like it's a form of punctuation.
Mm.
So. But yes, interesting facts about the country of choice this week, Poland. Poland boasts 17 Nobel Prize winners.
17?
17, including 4 Peace Prize winners and 5 in literature.
Wow.
Marie Curie, who was actually born Maria, now I'll try and pronounce this, Sklodowska. I think. was the first and only Nobel laureate in 2 different sciences and the first female professor at the Sorbonne University. And more importantly, he was Polish. I didn't even realise she was Polish. Polish born astronomer Nicholas Copernicus was the first person to propose that the Earth was not the centre of the universe.
He was, yes.
Another Polish astronomer, Johann Hevelius, published the earliest exact map of the moon. Given that he lived between 1611 and 1687, that's pretty early.
Poland have they've done well
in the sciences and things like that. There were some slightly more random stats, like 90% of Poles have completed at least secondary education. That's not really something to be wowed at. Some Polish beer is 10% alcohol.
Have you ever tried a beer that's 10% alcohol?
Again, that's not mind blowing. It doesn't mean they're all 10% alcohol.
No, just some of them.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's English beer that's probably.
There is a Pope channel on TV.
Pope channel.
Yeah, dedicated to the Pope.
Anyone, Pope.
And I like the slogan. Well, it's probably not the official slogan, but the bit on the website I found said, anytime one needs to see the Pope, one can tune him in. In Poland, bananas are peeled from the blossom end, not the stem end. Surely, much more difficult.
Apparently, bananas are supposed to be peeled from that end.
Isn't that much more difficult, though?
No.
You've got no purchase.
I had this conversation with someone, I can't remember who it was, and they said, you are actually supposed to peel a banana from this way, because it's easier. Now, I don't eat bananas, because I think they're disgusting, long, rounded... hell yellow things. Yeah. But yeah, apparently you just literally just pop your thumb in it and just grab it and it will just peel automatically.
Oh, I don't buy that for a second. Not at all.
I'm just telling you what.
Anyway, moving on. There is a version of Woodstock, which is the biggest open air festival in Europe, an annual free rock music festival in Poland, inspired by and named appropriately enough or fittingly enough the Woodstock Festival in America. And the one that I don't know why I find this one the weirdest one, pizza in Poland does not contain tomato sauce. However, the waiters bring sauce to the table in a pitcher and you pour it on top yourself. Sometimes the sauce is just ketchup. I know, for those who don't know, Max has a phobia of ketchup, which is truly distinct. Do you want to tell them the story about your holiday adventures?
This isn't where it came from. This
no,
is
no, I'm not saying it is, but I just think it's
quite
a
result
story.
Of,
yeah.
of someone taking it too far.
Yeah.
Quite simply, a friend of mine.
Fish murderer.
Yeah. He's also murdered my fish.
Yeah, by putting his football trophies in the fish tank.
Lack of respect.
He's all about a lack of respect.
Yeah.
He's like Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's got no respect for anyone.
Yeah. Anyway, he came back from a drunken night out on holiday once, saw me sleeping in bed and thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put the one thing that he hates all over his face. So he attacked me with ketchup.
Mm. And what did you do in retaliation?
What did I do?
I chased him with a metal pole. I did actually get him when, with
did
one
you
swing
hit him
as
with
well.
A metal
yeah,
pole?
I did actually. It was actually the pole from the shower curtain.
Oh, okay. That's not quite as bad.
I did take a good swing. Slapped him on the back.
Right. That's a bit harsh.
And then he ran off wearing just his pants. Bear in mind, this was about 3 a.m, and I didn't actually see him till 10 o'clock the next day.
Impressive.
To this day, I don't know where he went.
Does he know where he went?
I don't think he does. So while he was gone, he's a heavy smoker, Chris is, isn't he?
Mm.
Yeah.
He is.
I snapped all of his 200 cigarettes in half.
I would have ripped your fucking balls off.
I put mustard in his Converse and threw them off the balcony. I put half of his clothes in the toilet. And I threw the other half off the ball.
Do you not think this was a slightly extreme form of revenge for the fact that essentially all he did was put ketchup on your face?
I asked him not to. It's the one thing I ask people not to do. Just don't go near me with it.
There's something brewing here in my mind.
I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. I really, really wouldn't.
Why do you fear ketchup so much?
Because it looks horrible. It smells disgusting.
Do you eat tomatoes?
In fact, I actually think it probably smells worse than it tastes.
Do you eat tomatoes?
And you know what else? It does that thing around the top of the bottle when
it goes
all hard and crust.
I'm wondering if a Max-based challenge could be ketchup-based in the future.
Yeah, there'd be no challenge.
Not in football versus home football.
No, I would walk away.
Max doesn't care about
No. I just say, you know what? Take some money. I'm going.
Okay.
I'd rather do that.
You astound.
I don't know why people like it. Have you looked at the ingredients on ketchup? It's got sugar in it.
Mm.
Why is there sugar in it?
Because tomatoes are quite sweet.
No, I don't exactly. So why are you putting more sugar in the ketchup?
I can sort of see the point. But do you eat tomatoes?
Nah, not really.
Well, then that's probably why you don't like ketchup.
Well, probably. But
there you go. But yes. Anyway. Moving on, I think we're at that moment again where I can simply declare. Well, obviously I don't declare it sexual, but some dude from the WWE declares that.
Don't think he does that anymore.
No. I have to say it was quite a good weekend of football. I actually paid attention to the football this weekend. I finally caught up with Papis Sissé's goal, as I was telling you before we came on air.
That was last weekend.
I know, but that's because I was so far behind. Sexual moments for me. I would say the performance of Tottenham, but I would say Arsenal are actually performed better other than their terrible defenders.
Arsenal's problem was they played well, but they just lack quality.
They lack quality at either end.
Mm.
Their midfield is fine.
There was a point in the Spurs-Arsenal game where I think they conceded the second goal and Vermaelen was looking at Mertesacker and Mertesacker was looking at Vermaelen. And it's like they had a look in their eyes as if they'd just met each other and wanted to kill each other.
Mertesacker is a very odd player, I think, for Arsenal to have signed. He doesn't fit with their philosophy.
I don't even think he's a bad player.
He's not a particularly good player.
I just think he needs some direction. I don't think he's getting. Don't think they get any direction at Arsenal.
Other than that, I would say Shinji Kagawa's performance.
Shinji what?
Kagawa.
Shinji Kagawa.
Whatever.
Shinji Kagawa, yeah. It's actually supposed to be Kagawa.
Yeah, I know, because the Japanese pronunciation really abruptly.
Shinji Kagawa.
But it's like when you remember that nuclear plant that blew up?
Yes.
Everyone was calling it Fukushima. I think that was just because people wanted to say the F
word. They just wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, it would probably, the way they pronounce things would be Fukushima.
Fukushima, that's a very good point, actually.
But Man United, although I'm not entirely convinced this helped them in their quest for Tuesday with a nice, easy 4-0 win against Norwich.
I'd rather take on Norwich at home than have to play Barcelona.
And drop all the players and still win.
They didn't drop all of their players. I think they dropped
most
Ronaldo.
They dropped most.
Did you watch the game?
I did not watch the game. I merely heard the reports.
They didn't drop off the players. They didn't rest off the players. It was a relatively strong team they put out.
Right, we'll come on to start with a preview of the games that are coming up this week.
Hmm.
But I really, really hope that you injure Ronaldo.
Be nasty.
I am quite nasty.
No, I
would love it if he just, because he's just a massive.
On the basis of just wanting to win, I would love him to start the game, get the reception that he deserves. Come on, pull his hamstring after 5 minutes and have to go off.
I'd like to see him, you know, proper nailed into. Like if you've got Roy Keane still playing, if he just, you know, done a Haaland. I'm just kind of harsh there. That's my problem.
You are very harsh.
Liverpool were pretty sexual, I thought.
Mm.
Really, you're going to dispute that?
No, I can't really dispute it. I just don't really want to.
Coutinho again, looking good.
Yeah, he does look like a player. He does look like a player.
But I do wonder how long he's going to be able to keep it up for. Because is he just going to be a flash in the pan?
I don't know. I've read a couple of interviews with him. He talks well. He's talking about, you know, bulking up and getting stronger and adapting his game. So I think he'll do all right. Seemed like a good signing to me.
I'll tell you, one person who is definitely not sexual at the moment and is in danger of costing me £10 was, I had a bet with, I don't even really know why, it was a Wolves fan, me, with a Villa fan, lad at work, about Stephen Fletcher scoring 15 or more goals in the Premiership this season, and it was all going so well. But he's now got to the point where he needs to score one in every two, because that's how little he's got left. And I can see him getting to 14 league goals at that minute.
And you've got £10 on this. In all fairness, it's not a bad bet.
It's not. The problem is, it's not my fault Sunderland don't create many chances.
Yeah, he'll score goals. I just still don't think it's. That one's gone.
I heard somebody the other day claim that he'd end up, he'll leave Sunderland at some point to go somewhere like Man United or something. I was like, unless Alex Ferguson is really desperate, he ain't getting there.
I actually thought, and I've spoken to a couple of people about this, I actually thought Arsenal would have been a good place for him to go.
Arsenal.
If you look, that they've spent the money on Giroud, and I like Giroud as a player, but I don't think Stephen Fletcher's any worse.
No, I would totally agree. Because bear in mind, Giroud was playing in the lower French leagues.
I just think for the money paid, and I
but
think
he's not Stephen, French enough.
Well, there is that, yeah.
But yeah,
he's very Scottish.
He is very Scottish.
They could have gone both ways and got Christoph Berra.
Well, with please take him, please.
It can't be any worse than Moses, I think.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of Scottish players and Wolverhampton Wanderers at the moment, I just still, I mean, I don't care how much of an arsehole he is.
Lee Griffiths.
Why the hell, when we can't score goals, is Lee Griffiths absolutely nailing them in?
Is he top scorer in Scotland? He's got to be
close, so I can find out for us. But he scored a hat-trick at the weekend, and it's just like, how many goals does he actually have to score before we go, we should have probably brought him back?
I don't know about what went on when he was at Wolves, but from what I'm told, he was.
He's a scumbag, and so Duncan Ferguson's a scumbag. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that you can't overlook that and think he scores a lot of goals. We're in the relegation zone in the Championship.
Yeah, well, you're in big trouble down there at the moment.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to the point where Dean Saunders is talking about, I decided to wear my daffodil today because it's St David's Day, and I got my lucky socks on because I thought it might bring us a bit of luck. Then you really are living on a wing and a prayer, aren't you?
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous for a team who've got the quality of some of Wolves players.
I'll be honest, I do feel sorry for Dean Saunders.
I don't.
And I do feel sorry for Wolves fans.
I felt sorry for Sol Bakken. Dean Saunders.
Yeah, but if you're Dean Saunders, you're not going to come in and turn that. You're not going to turn that job down, are you? I just don't know why they've gone out and got him.
No,
I have no idea why they go out and get him.
O'Driscoll was available on a free, and O'Driscoll is a lifelong Wolves fan.
The thing is, if you want to get and what they need to do at the minute is get the Wolves fans on side.
Yeah.
At that point, the board needed to get the Wolves fans on side.
and they needed to make a good managerial appointment.
Yeah, and also signed some players during January.
He just perfectly fits the bill.
Mm.
You know, he's loved by the Wolves fans because he's a Wolves fan himself.
Yeah.
He's from round these parts. He did a cracking job at Nottingham Forest. He got the sack because they've got some kind of crazy board going on there.
Yeah, and then they decided to appoint McLeish, who was terrible.
Exactly.
And then they've now reappointed Billy Davies, who they got rid of a few years ago.
Well, McLeish lasted, what, like 50 days?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. I don't understand why you wouldn't at least go and speak to O'Driscoll about it, you know what I mean? But they've made all sorts of bizarre decisions. I mean, I said that McCarthy should have gone. I think the timing was wrong. I think he should have gone start the season before that season and got someone else in to try and take him on. You've done this much, you've done fantastic for us, but we need to try and move forward. But if you're going to sack him at that point in the season, you have got to have a replacement ready, or you've got to be pretty confident you can go out and get someone.
We were fully confident that we could get Terry Connor.
And again, I feel bad for Terry Connor. It was difficult not to feel bad for Terry Connor, given his post match interviews. He was nearly in tears every single time.
Making noises. But the thing is, he always looked like he was on the verge of tears, even before we got relegated.
They also made a massive mistake when they appointed Solbakken and then turned around and said, "He's our man."
Mm.
Never do that. If you're going to do that, you've got to be sure he's going to succeed. Because if he doesn't succeed, you are going to look pretty, pretty stupid.
I would have happily turned around if I was the board and said, "He's our man." And what I would have said to the fans when they started getting on his back is, "Look, I'm going to be brutally honest with you here. I own your club and he's my manager and I believe in what he is doing. If you want to come here and boo and you're unhappy with what's going on, I tell you what, I'll give you, not only will I say I'll give you the rest of the money back remaining on your season ticket, you can have all of the games that you paid for as well. Just don't bring your negativity to the team."
I don't get the whole negativity. I understand people booing. It's not the whole Chelsea thing. I mean, I'm certainly no Rafa Benitez fan, but
I forgot to include him in my sexual moments, which was, I loved his rant.
It was fantastic.
It wasn't even a rant, really.
It was one of the best things I've heard in football for a while, because he literally just turned around and said, "Do you want to play Champions League football, or would you rather, you know?"
It was actually very
balls. So I'm doing as much as I can. The players are doing as much as they can. You lot.
Yeah,
I'm
terrible.
Gone.
Yeah, terrible.
You know. And I did like the way he had to go at the board as well with his interim manager thing. That is a very good point for me. You're basically saying he's here for 6 months and then he's off. And that doesn't set a good example. You know, the players are going to look at that. Fans are going to look at that.
Mm.
Everyone looking in just thinks that club's a joke. And
he has said they are. The interim manager thing was less much the board, more a problem. Well, this is the thing I don't get. Is he said a problem with his translator not quite getting the message of, you know, that he got called interim rather than manager? But I don't buy that, because Benitez speaks perfectly good English.
Why would he need a translator?
Exactly. Yeah, I know, in some sort of legal
fine. He has a home still up on on Merseyside. His family's. Last time I knew, his family was still living in England, so it does surprise me.
We sort of largely drifted onto a news section, so
yeah,
I'll carry on in that vein. My favourite story in recent times was around Mr. J. Barton.
The nose incident.
No,
because I saw that video the
other
day. It did make me laugh.
Did you not see what he tweeted the other day and removed very quickly, where he referred to Justin Bieber as the Prince of the Pedos?
I didn't know. I you know, strangely enough, I heard something about it on TalkSport earlier, where he put some tweets on and they were out of order, but I didn't know what he'd said.
He'd referenced Jacko being the King of Pop. And if Bieber's the Prince of Pedos, what does that make Jimmy Savile? Now, I don't want to bring Jimmy Savile up on every podcast, but this one legitimately there was a reason to bring him up.
You have to
find
a way.
I don't try to, but I couldn't ignore this story.
Rather worryingly, I don't want to go in your like one of these rooms to see this sort of like Jimmy Savile shrine that you've
got. Yeah, he's probably his chair in the other room. That was actually for sale on eBay.
Oh God!
Before
can you imagine if you bought it for a lot of money.
No, that was the thing. Before it all kicked off, he put it on sale on eBay. And he'd asked for, he turned down the bids that he got because he was like, nope, it's worth more money than that. Now nobody wants the pedo chair. He can't get any money for it. I think it ended up going into some auction at the end.
Oh dear.
I did think that was happening. Yeah, and there was the nose incident, if you will.
Joey Barton, though, I don't know how many times he can just disappoint everyone.
Does he disappoint though, or is it altogether expected?
It is expected now, but you just think someone would learn. He just doesn't seem to learn. What annoys me about it is the arrogance that he thinks, you know what, I'm the man. I'm playing football, earning lots of money, badly, I might add. So I think I've got the right to have this voice, which, to be quite frank, is just pathetic.
He
absolutely infuriates me. You know, if I had half the ability he had and had the chance to get where he is and behave like he did, I'd just be so ashamed. I'd be absolutely ashamed of myself.
The problem with Barton as well is the fact that he's clearly not an idiot. I know it's easy to go, oh, look.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
He's clearly got a degree of intelligence, and I've seen him on, it was Newsnight or the Review Show or something like that, and he came across as very articulate. And you can't even say he suffers from, say, like Martin Keown syndrome, which is Martin Keown. He's when he's doing punditry and stuff, he's very softly spoken, quite eloquent. Gets on a pitch and turns into a monster. Because Joey Barton does it when he's off the pitch as well.
Yeah.
It's not just about being on the pitch and the red mist.
Yeah, exactly. I think you have to have a certain sort of way about you to be able to put out a cigarette in someone's face.
Yeah.
I think that says it all.
Yeah.
I just cannot stand people like that.
No,
and I'm not just talking about football. I mean any walk of life. If you've got that sort of attitude and you behave like that around people who just, quite frankly, don't deserve it, I've just got a complete lack of respect.
I don't have so much of a problem with somebody having arrogance if they've got something to back it up with, but Joey Barton is not a particularly good player.
Yeah,
and
he's okay.
He's all right.
Don't get me wrong. He's okay.
He's not a bad player. Yeah. He's all right.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if he was that good, then he'd have kept QPR up easily, wouldn't he?
And he almost cost them.
Exactly, yeah.
Very, you know, they're very, very lucky.
Speaking of QPR, we've once again got got the predictions of Max Carnage and Bruce Swain pinned up on the wall here. QPR are still in the bottom three. Wigan are not in the bottom three. Although, is there an update on tonight's game? Depending on how Villa do tonight, they may slip back in. Man City have taken the lead 1-0.
Who scored?
Let's have a look. It was in the first half.
If it's David Silva, I'm going to be really.
Carlos Tevez.
Yeah, that's alright then.
At the moment, Villa aren't helping me out here. Wigan got absolutely stuffed, as we said, by Liverpool.
Yeah.
Reading got absolutely stuffed by the other team from Liverpool. I'm sure they'd appreciate being called that. Norwich, though, Max, what a crazy prediction that was.
I don't think it is that crazy.
They're on 32 points.
I honestly think, anyone can come and say what they're going to say and argue with me about this till I'm blue in the face. Player for player, Norwich have got the worst team.
Norwich are a terrible team, I think.
And it's testament to their certainly to their work rate and the managers they've had, that they've A, stayed up last season, B, that they're where they are this season.
Yeah.
But I still think a bad run of games, they could be in big trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, they probably will stay up. But I can't see them being a Premier League team for very long.
I often find that goal difference is a particularly good indicator of how good teams are.
Exactly.
I know that's slightly glib to say that. But Norwich have 32 points, are in 13th place. They have a goal difference of minus 18. Sunderland, one place below, but 2 points below them, have minus 7 goal difference. Newcastle have minus 11 for Newcastle. That is shocking, frankly. But then they did have that big one they lost to Arsenal 7-3.
Yeah, exactly.
It was. Newcastle on 30 points, Southampton on 27. And then you've got Wigan and Villa on 24, but Villa are essentially a point behind by the fact that they've got a horrific goal difference of minus 27, which stems from that run over Christmas, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is with Norwich as well, if you look how they started the season, they weren't doing too well.
No, and then
they went on a run of about 5 or 6 games. They were beating top teams, they were beating United, they were beating Arsenal, you know. And then they kind of just dropped off again. But you know, you're talking about a Premier League team who lost, and no disrespect, they lost at home to Luton.
Yeah,
they didn't put a bad side out, they put a side out.
Look, Luton are a good team.
Well, you know, at least when Wolves went there, they lost away, you know, an away cup tie can be tough. But a non-league team going to a Premier League ground, Can you honest? I think it's the only time it's ever happened.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
So,
but QPR won, obviously. I was driving back. So I was driving back from somewhere.
You were driving back from somewhere.
Yeah, I was driving back from somewhere, and I had the radio on, and it was 1-1 between Southampton and QPR, and I was like, oh, gutted. I was really hoping Southampton would be winning, and by the time I got back in, it was suddenly QPR winning 2-1. I was distraught by this.
I don't know if anyone else noticed. Please, if you did notice, get in touch. Did you watch Match of the Day? There was a point in that game where Southampton had the ball and they played it into the box, and John Motson's voice on commentary morphed into some kind of strange goblin for about 4 seconds.
Yeah.
I think it was Jason Puncheon ended up putting a shot wide. If anyone picked up on this apart from myself and the couple of friends I had around at the time, who literally, we had to rewind it 2 or 3 times to listen to what he'd said. It made no sense at all. But yeah.
He does have a strange voice, I have to say sometimes. It's started going particularly, like when he gets excited, like it starts to go a lot more than it used to.
I did think in that game, and I am not a big Rob Green fan, but that was an exceptional save that he pulled off in that game.
I was going to try and find a bit of John Motson commentary on the fly, but
it's just not going to happen.
I know the one I want, but I don't know I don't know how it's going to come out, so I'm not going to play it. It was during a Chelsea game where he went, "Oh, Ballack!" And there's a YouTube video of that called John Motson saying "Oh, Ballack" 1,000 times, which is 22 minutes long.
Could be 10 hours of "Oh, Ballack."
Yeah, okay. Google love people using their servers for that kind of thing. But yeah, so I think that about largely covers the news, so to speak. And we'll move on to, again, we're playing the same music again. I've decided not to go with Sepultura. Bit of Grassroots.
I seem to get excited when this song comes on,
though. I know, yeah, because it's about your team.
It's not just about my team, is it?
It's mainly. Let's be honest, how many other Grassroots teams have we really talked about?
Not many, although I do know a lot.
I will, it should be pointed out at this moment in time that I attended my first ever Castlecroft Rangers home game.
I'm going to be honest. I was thinking I might turn up, and then I'm sort of lining up on the pitch, and I, corner of my eye, I see walking into the McKenna Webb Bowl,
the stunning Boulder Donnie
himself, which was quite
It's quite a movie,
actually. One of the things that was observed during the game was the fact that, for some reason, you're never loud on the podcast. Yet, during the game, I could hear every single word you said, which were mainly, "Keepers!" and, "No bounce!" That was only once I was led to, I was informed that that would be said quite a bit. And it,
You, I suppose, usually I do come out with that one a bit.
You made some acrobatic saves that probably didn't need to be quite so acrobatic, where you pushed one onto the bar.
I don't think I made any acrobatic
you
saves. Did,
you pushed one onto the bar.
Yeah, but it wasn't acrobatic. I pretty much stood in the right position.
Yeah, but you didn't really need to be pushed onto the bar. You should just pick it up.
No, well, you see, we could wax lyrical about this, but if you're in my position...
Yeah, I'm a brilliant goalkeeper.
I've honestly never known a football move left, right, left.
The excuse is excuses.
Well, no, there's no excuse because did it go in?
No, but you did concede a goal.
To someone.
For the benefit of the listeners out there, what was the score and who were you playing?
We beat local rivals Dudley Athletic.
Those who aren't from round here, Dudley Athletic does seem like a bit of an oxymoron. I'll be brutally honest, Dudley Athletic were terrible. They had one lad who was good.
Yeah.
We discussed this before we came on air. He was a little black lad who only came on in the second half. He's black. He was little.
I know, it's just the way you said it, and you're doing this with your hands. Like he's a midget.
He was really short.
That's not
midget is, again, not...
The correct term, isn't it?
It is, yeah. If you're below a certain height, you are a midget. Mm. But in any case, he came on, and he actually looked all right, so beg the question why they didn't start with him. Their manager, I also felt, was very amusing.
Was he?
Because he was linesman for the first half. He was... When he got freed of linesman duties, incredibly shouty on the touchline. Because the one thing I observed with Dudley was the fact that you lot all shout and talk to each other, and Dudley didn't do any of that. They were just apart from when they
just
get
listening to the guy on the sideline.
Apart from when they'd get upset with each other. And, oh,
yeah, I did notice there was a few
work.
Of those. Yeah. Yeah, there was a few of those with Dudley. I was impressed with I say impressed and slightly disappointed that their goal went in off the guy's penis. Which means I conceded a goal to a penis.
There was, it's probably not the first time we've done that. There's a lot of them about in amateur football. you know, like the whole, if you can't...
What got me though, he was almost like falling forward. If you're falling forward, you expect if the ball hits you in that region, the ball would go down. Instead, it flies into the top corner.
Maybe you've got a very oddly shaped penis. Tebow came with the... I would say came with me. He didn't come with me. He was there before I got there because I couldn't find anywhere to park because I blocked you in. But in any case, he was videoing parts of the game. He claims he videoed the first goal.
He has got a bit of it.
He got it up to the point where he immediately went, yeah!
Yeah.
To the camera.
He basically got Paul, our right back, crossing the ball, Nick heading it in, and then it just goes all over the place.
Now, what I thought was quite interesting was the fact that your right back crossed the ball in.
Yeah.
In the position where your right winger should have been. Now, I brought along a photographer to the game who I will provide you with the photos at some point this week. But I said to him, if you can get any footage of Chris, who is your right winger, or Cristiano, because he's similarly a little bit on the tanned side.
Well, you know, he likes to prune himself, doesn't he?
I know he does. I said, if you can get any pictures of him where he's in position on the right wing, I will give you a prize.
You're being harsh. He was out of position a lot, but he was... out of position because he was trying to win the ball back a lot of the time, so
but
I can forgive that, although there was one quite hilarious part in the first half where he ran pretty much from the top corner all the way into the left back position to win the ball.
He also tackled the corner flag in the first half
and
then came back hobbling.
Yeah, he came off worse.
Posted a video going, oh, look at this, it's hilarious, I've got Chris tackling the corner flag. Yeah, and as I put it out to him, I was like, yeah, but you really need to have taken a video of that happening for it to be construed.
It is kind of happening in the bottom right hand corner of the picture, sort of.
Yeah, very much sort of.
I did check upon Chris today, and you know, he's okay. He's okay. He's got a bit of a bruised ankle, but he's hoping he's going to be fit for Saturday. So.
Oh yeah, where is your next?
We are at home
again
all month.
Oh okay,
yeah.
I might well come along again then.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you playing this time?
I think we're playing Boldmere again, but it could be a team called Village because they do sometimes switch the fixtures.
Are they the ones who's... Boldmere aren't the ones who's changing facilities, you say?
No, they're the ones who's changing facilities. Very good indeed.
Yeah. It's a glorious setting, I have to say. The McKenna Bowl.
The McKenna Webb Bowl.
McKenna Webb Bowl. See, so blame Tebow.
This is Mr. Brook, this is, with his... advertising.
Speaking of Mr. Brook, he has expressed an interest in joining us on the podcast.
He's more than welcome to come and join us.
You, however, need to make it happen.
Okay.
So, if you want him to join in, that's more than fine.
I don't mind having him over, you know, to join us once or twice, maybe.
Yeah, I was worried where that was going.
Permanent fixture, I don't know.
Oh, no, it's just the two of us. You wanted to include Tebow, but Tebow...
I do want an evening where there's the... I really could have gone the wrong way with that, a threesome in the room. It would be nice to have him here with the two of us one time.
But it's, whether you can understand him...
Yeah. He's got a very thick accent, hasn't he?
Number
five.
Speaking of numbers, I thought your number four was very, 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 very passionate, I think is the best.
Jason, he is. Jason's fantastic. I think part of that comes from the fact that Jason, probably about 2 years ago, suffered a cruciate ligament, an ACL, completely torn, went in his knee, and it's taken him until just before Christmas to start playing football again. And obviously he's a very good player, he always has been a very good player, he's played at quite a high level, so you know he's passionate about the game anyway.
Yeah.
But I think extra because of the fact
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It was very entertaining to see somebody getting that wound up about his team not performing around him.
He kind of carried us into the game, to be honest, because we were very flat.
It wasn't the best game I've ever seen.
They did warn you.
But you were a lot better than Dudley Athletic, dreadful. Somebody posted on Twitter that I think a draw would have been a fair result. I think it would have been one of the most unfair results.
Well, we were back at the Fox afterwards having a drink, and obviously a couple of their players came, and their manager was there. I was at the bar getting a pint in. And their manager was so what do you think of the game, sort of thing. I was like, well, yeah, I thought we battled well and deserved the result. And he was like, should have been a draw though, we deserved a draw, didn't we?
No, not at all.
I was like, well, yeah, you know, I don't like, you know, I'm not big for confrontation, I don't like to be a nasty guy. So I was like, yeah, well, you know, you probably could have nicked a draw in there. He was like, yeah, we definitely should have had a draw, sort of thing.
But
I was sort of sitting there thinking in my head, well, really, we should have had that game put to bed a long time ago.
No attacking threat whatsoever.
No,
absolutely none.
Yeah, I mean, apart from the penis goal and two shots in the first half, which you know, one was straight up.
You were definitely
a
lot better in the first
half
than you were in the second
half. Then I think you know they didn't really have anything. So,
well, I've got footage of the second goal when he scored and the celebration after it.
You got footage of
the
second goal, have you?
Not the video, but like
stills, yeah.
Of it going in and then going.
Kelvin, who scored that goal, that was
his
debut
signing,
for us. Yeah, signed him from Walsall Phoenix. He's a very good player, from what I've seen. Me and Dave and Jason scouted him.
Okay.
A couple of weeks back when we had a week off because our game had been postponed. Dave knew him already, and we'd gone down to watch.
Old Wolfoonians. He was playing for Warsaw Phoenix there, and Dave was I know that lad, he's a good player.
Dave did seem very excited.
We actually had to fill in a transfer form, and we had to pay the grand total of £1 to Warsaw Phoenix to sign
him. Why did
you
have to pay £1?
Basically, there's a rule in amateur football that you can't, basically any player is worth £1, no more, no less. So if you're going to transfer a player from one club to another, you have to pay the transfer fee. Because it's amateur football, a player can't be worth more than £1.
Well, yeah, in fairness, you could have bought an entire football club for that if you were
Wolves.
Wolves, and I think didn't Ken Bates buy Chelsea
Bates did
for
it,
£1?
I think you have to have a bit of pedigree behind you to be able to do that, though. I don't think you can just rock up, you know, with your pocket money when you're 15.
True. But yeah, so I enjoyed it. Like I say, my feet were very cold. But at least I didn't go down on the week that it was a bog.
Yeah, well.
Which, the weather later this week doesn't sound great for you.
No, we have got a roller, so we can roll
up. Oh yeah, I heard that you don't manage to get
a
roller.
Which is always a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say it was the first time I ever met Dave in the flesh.
What was your beautiful description of him?
I felt that he was somewhat Maradona-esque in stature.
He's actually a lefty as well. He don't get him to play football though.
Why?
You're going to have to get him to play football to realise why I've told you not to get him to play football.
Is he not terribly good?
He's got a trick.
Oh,
he's
really?
Got one trick, which he always does.
Well,
where he kind of sort of skips over the ball and kicks it with his other foot. It's
well, as long as you play a different team each week, that's not a problem, is it?
Yeah, I suppose.
Once you play the same team twice.
It's all about Dave's physio run, though. You ask any one of our team, he's got a physio run.
He has,
which I'm sure most physios don't have. But if there's an injury and Dave comes onto the pitch, he does, I can't really describe his run because he's holding the bag at the same time. His arms are really out wide and he kind of does this weird little...
I like the fact that for the...
girly skip.
You could tell it was proper grassroots football by the fact that there was a field behind the goal. And if the ball went out there, the play just stopped for a bit. And you had to take down the post.
Yeah, well, most teams only put up the nets. We actually have to take down our goalposts as well.
At this point, I do have something to comment on here. That did you know that you don't in all levels of football you don't have to have a goal net?
I think I have probably heard that before.
Section 1 of FIFA's official laws of the game states that nets may be attached to the goals and the ground behind the goal, provided they are properly supported and do not interfere with the goalkeeper. Thus, they are permitted but not mandatory.
Yeah, that's strange, actually. A couple of weeks ago, we played a game where the net did interfere with my goalkeeping.
Oh, OK.
The guy crossed... Basically, the guy came down the wing, he crossed the ball in, and it was a pretty flimsy net. It was sort of literally hanging off the crossbar straight down and then being dragged back a bit. And the guy's... pretty much got an open goal to aim at, and he's hit it and it's close enough to me to get my hands behind it and keep it out, but as I've got my hands behind it, my hands have gone into the net, so my hands are sort of behind the net despite the fact that my, you know, the ball is in front of the line, so it didn't go over the line. I've kind of had to push the net forward with because it's got caught in my hands to keep the ball out. They've all screamed goal. I'll be honest, I'd accepted that any referee is going to give a goal if the ball hits the net, which it did. Didn't give it.
Really?
I was quite surprised.
Their
team went mental despite the fact they were winning 3-0 at the time.
I did like the ref that you had at the home game.
Right? Yeah, he's an old friend of mine.
Yeah, he
knows me by name now. He's refed me for about 5-6 years at all different levels of football. But he's a nice chap.
But yeah, he was taking no nonsense whatsoever.
No.
We will move on to Eric Cantona's Poetry Corner, which has made a return with one that you may well have heard before. It's a reasonably famous bit of commentary. And then we'll round things off with a preview of the Champions League stuff and next week's games generally. So yeah, see if you remember this one, and you can work out which player this commentary is about.
I may be wrong, but was that his goal World Cup 98 against Argentina?
No, it's about Jimmy Graves. No, it was Dennis Bergkamp against Argentina in the 98 World Cup, wasn't it? I think that's how you should just be introduced in any game ever. Dennis Bergkamp!
You know, when they do go through the names on the tannoy like before a game.
Yeah,
they go through like
play just
by
that
play.
Bit.
It gets to
Bergkamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought we'd take a little bit of time. We don't normally do like a preview of stuff that's to come, but I felt with the as Jose Mourinho put it today, the what was it? The biggest no, the game basically that the entire world will be watching.
Yes.
The world will stop to watch.
Well, I'm going to be watching it.
Well, yes, but that's because your party's onto it.
Well, yeah. I think I'd probably be watching it even if I wasn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've no doubt I'll be watching it. I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to say it's going to be a victory for Manchester United.
I'm not going to give a prediction.
No, exactly, again, because you're somewhat biased.
Yeah, I can't. It's one of these things, I can't predict United games. It's superstitious, I can't put out a prediction. However, it's going to be a tough, tough game. I always hate, with Champions League football, I always hate the home leg more than the away leg.
Mm.
I always have an absolute nightmare watching the home leg because simply because of the away goals.
Yeah, but it has favoured you, I think, having the second leg.
It does favour you, I think, but it's just such a killer blow if you concede.
Yeah, but you've already got an away goal.
Yeah, oh yeah, but we've got one away goal, so we concede two.
I've told you what you need to do
yeah.
is cripple Ronaldo within minutes.
No.
And I'm of the view that there's this whole, oh, how the hell do you stop Cristiano Ronaldo? Very simply, you tackle him a lot. And
well,
I know that sounds like I'm grossly oversimplifying things, but I think that Ronaldo has the same thing that back when in his heyday Mike Tyson had, which was most people had already lost to Mike Tyson by the moment,
yeah.
the moment they stepped into the ring because they were just like, oh God, I can't beat him, he's really hard. And I think that is what Ronaldo has.
I think people and teams are guilty of maybe trying too hard against him. I looked at Raphael in the away leg, and he was trying too hard. He was trying to follow him everywhere. He's a good young player, and he doesn't need to do that. He just needs to hold his position. When Ronaldo comes into his area, he just, you know. Phil Jones had that job of sort of man-marking.
Unfortunately, Phil Jones is injured.
Yeah, I'm really quite disappointed about that because I think Phil Jones is... we've discussed this before, haven't we?
He's a fantastic
player. Next England captain. I think he's an absolute colossus. But it'd be interesting. I'm going to say something that's not going to go down well with United fans now.
Mm.
And that is that I really, really do hope that he doesn't start with Ryan Giggs. I know it would be his 1,000th game, but I think you're just asking for trouble.
I think it's very odd that he didn't play his 1,000th game against Norwich at home.
Yeah,
that baffled me.
I am concerned. I think if Giggs starts, it means he's going to start in midfield.
Yeah.
If he starts in midfield, up against the likes of Khedira, Alonso.
It depends.
The problem is, if he gets the ball into feet, he can still do it. But sometimes he holds onto the ball too long, and if he loses it, he's not got the legs anymore.
Mm.
You've got to use Giggs at the right time. You know, I've got no problem with him coming on for the last 15-20 minutes, shore things up. You know, if we need a bit of inspiration, fine. Don't start him in that game. It cost us in the Champions League final against Barcelona a couple of years ago. It's cost us in other games. And Ryan Giggs is the reason. Well, two players really, him and Peter Schmeichel, the reason I started watching football and supporting Man United. So, you know, it pains me to say it, but if you're going to put, you know, a 39-year-old in that midfield, in a midfield two tomorrow, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah,
I'd love to be proved wrong. I'd love him to start, score a hat trick,
and go
to win.
Yeah,
you know, that's just
that,
my opinion.
That, brutally honest, is not going to happen.
Exactly.
No, I'm going for the United victory. Controversially,
victory on the night or
on
just
the night
over the two legs.
I think they'll beat them. The only thing I'd say with Real is the fact that Mourinho is desperate to win Champions League with Real, isn't he?
Yeah.
But just because you're desperate for something doesn't mean it happens.
It doesn't mean it happens. It tends to happen with Mourinho.
He's lost a bit of the luster that he had.
I think he'll rock up at Chelsea.
Yeah, I do. We'll cover this next week. You know, somewhat.
It'll be last. I'll be amazed if it's not his last season there anyway. If he stays
in Spain,
I'll be absolutely amazed.
The main thing I think United have got to watch for is the fact that if they go all out attack, but if they go very attacking, Real Madrid will destroy them on the counter attack.
They will do. I actually think we'll set up quite defensively.
Yeah, I could say that.
Very similar to the first leg, because I do think if you give Real Madrid space. Which, if you're going to attack Real Madrid, you're going to leave space. Mm. So I think if you give Real Madrid space, then, you know, they will score. I think if you kind of get bodies behind the ball and try and hit them on the counter attack, you know, the defence isn't great. So set pieces you can get at them. Mm. And you know, when you've got the likes of Van Persie up front, you've always got an opportunity. But I think if you get men behind the ball, make it difficult for them to play, force them to play in front of you.
Yeah,
you know, you're looking at shots from distance and things, and don't get me wrong, they can score worldies from distance, but I'd fancy with our keeper in goal, shots from distance, I'd fancy us to be able to keep them at bay. So I think that's how we'll look to play it, but wait and see.
So should be a fascinating game, and I guess we'll see whether my prediction was right come next week's podcast.
We will.
That's largely about it. Time has flown by. We are very nearly an hour. In the interest of time, we obviously don't want to run over. So thank you to everyone who's been listening, although we have to say numbers have dwindled in the last couple of weeks.
I warned you about having Tebow on, didn't I?
Tebow actually got more views than you did when you were on the one that we delayed. But that's probably because we didn't communicate that well. Again, I need to reiterate the fact that we have got a Facebook page that you can like, and we'll keep you updated on there. We'll put out trivia such as, did you know before I posted it on there why Boca Juniors playing blue and yellow?
I did not know.
Did you read why they play blue and yellow?
I did not know.
They essentially.
I didn't actually see it if I'm both
of them. They had a game against the. They basically played in the same strip as their local rivals.
Mm.
In about, I think it was 1905, they had a game kind of like a wrestling sort of, you know, hair versus hair match kind of thing. The winner would get to keep the strip.
Right.
So the other team won, and Boca had to pick a new strip. So they decided that they would go down to the port, and whichever ship first sailed into port,
they'd take the
colours, and it was a Swedish ship.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
It's like Juventus, isn't it?
Mm.
Like they play in black and white,
isn't
because
it
Notts County.
Yeah. And Leeds play in the colours there because of Real.
Yeah.
There is another one that I discussed with that I can't remember, it'll come back to me. But yeah, it is odd how people come up with their colours.
It is indeed.
Because Man United didn't always play in red?
Green and gold.
Mm. Is that more the
football club we used to be?
Yeah. Is that the reason that they had the old sharp green and yellow one?
It was, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so you know, you cannot get. I've looked on eBay. I just want that kit, but that kit is like gold dust. You cannot get it anywhere.
I think
it's because of the whole anti-glazer thing they had going on, which was a
huge
mistake.
Mm-hmm. Which I think most United fans are starting to see now. But says hardcore, you know, Stretford Enders who can't stand the Glazers and can't actually see that they're actually doing well for the club. They're doing the club good.
Yeah.
You know, you could if you want to get bad owners in, you just look down the road at Liverpool, don't you? Let's be honest.
It's a little bit harsh.
Mm. I'm thinking more Gillette and Hicks than
yeah.
You know. I mean Liverpool were the first ones to jump on the bandwagon, you know, USA United and all this when the Glazers came in. As soon as their owners come in, you know.
But yes, so
you have your little dig every week, I mean.
So keep in touch via the Facebook page, the Twitter handle of at
F underscore factor underscore.
That's it. Yeah, I get confused in which order the underscores are in. In any case, if you're watching this on YouTube, it'll be on the screen. I do now know of several places where I can start doing this as an MP3, so I'll look to do that this week. We're going to repost a few things as well on YouTube that are shorter, such as the Maxtermind Who Wants to Be a Millionaire segment with some visuals. Thank you to all those who've listened. It's good night from me, Bruce Swain. It's good night from Max Carnage.
Good night, Max Carnage.
Good night, everyone.